Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. You know, men think they're really having a good time going out here in the world and just living it up for pleasures. Television and all these things that people, you know, think is just going to really bring them happiness. You know where the true pleasures are found forever? In God's right hand. You know what God has in his right hand? Jesus has in his right hand in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. He's got the evangelist. That's who that is, the messenger, the angel. It's the evangelist that's in his right hand. You know where he walks? Amongst the churches. That's where he's walking. Men want to stack it up. They want to lay it up. And they think that they're going to have fun in the worldly events. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to have fun too, don't you? I want to enjoy life. I just want to tell you something. If your heart is set on the pleasures, it's going to choke the word. Yeah. And you're going to be unfruitful. If you want real joy, real pleasure, for all eternity, it's found in Christ and Him crucified, and there is no greater pleasure than winning souls for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You ever want a soul to Christ, then baptize them, then watch them grow? Ah, what a blessing. And I look out here tonight, you know, and people from North Platte, just blesses my life. It really does. I just say thanks, God, because I'll just tell you, it isn't anything I did. All I can do is present the gospel. You know who goes to work? God does. That's where the work is done. We merely baptize them. But the Spirit of God comes in, and what does it do? It raises a dead man up. Only God can raise the dead. You and I can't do that. It raises a dead man, gets him out of his mess. I was dead once too. Boy, am I thankful somebody spoke to me. Oh, so thankful, so thankful. Christ came to build his church, and there isn't anything greater on the face of this earth than the Lord's church. Nothing. Nothing compares to her. But it will only be seen by faith. You must see it by faith in what God says. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. How is he going to build it? Through the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? Church, it's you and me. The church will not be built if you personally do not go. It'll never happen. If you'll notice in Acts chapter 4, were the apostles dedicated to evangelism? That's my text tonight, or my theme tonight is evangelism. Developing evangelism. That word develop means to cause, to grow, or expand to completion, to come into being, cause the church to grow. And how are we going to grow? Well, evangelism. It's through God's people. If you'll notice in Acts 4 verse 1, it says, and as they were speaking to the people. What were they doing? Speaking to the people. You know what you have to do to win souls? Speak to the people. If you don't speak to the people, will you ever win souls for Christ? I heard on the radio one day, well, these are religious, you know, radio programs. That's about what I listen to. And I get so sick of them, I turn them off anyway. And then I got a tape recorder. I listen to that most, and I just punch that button over there. But I like to see what they're saying. This guy said, well, I would rather see a sermon than to hear 1,000. And I thought, mister, you got the thing turned around. And you're all mixed up because Jesus said, go preach to the whole world. That's what he said, go preach. And here it says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day. For it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Well, if you'll notice, in verse 13, now, what did the council have to think about this preaching and teaching? They didn't like it, did they?
No.
Oh, no, they didn't. Verse 10 says, let it be known to all of you. This is Peter. He's filled now with the Holy Spirit, see, and he said to the rulers and the people, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. Oh, they didn't like that, did they? Whom you crucified. Now notice verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and Joe, could somebody give me some water? My throat has been giving me a problem here with tickling. I got that in my throat. I had, what do you call that? I had bronchitis. And I still don't think I quite got over that. Thanks, John. And I got a tickling in my throat there in North Platte, and I didn't think I was ever going to quit coughing. And I felt that thing hit me. There, that should do it. I hope. All right, now back to the message. Verse 13 says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to go out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now, this man was born lame. I mean, from birth. And in the name of Jesus, they raised him up. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You know what happens when you start speaking in the name of Jesus? You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, you just try it and see what happens. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard, and I'm glad they couldn't stop.
Amen.
You have that kind of conviction tonight? You just can't stop. I remember when I was baptized into Christ, I told the preacher, I said, I'm going down, I'm going to convert my mom and my dad. Yes, sir, that's what I'm going to do. Now, he tried to forewarn me. But, you know, when you're on fire, well, you can't put it out. And so I went on down. I was telling my dad all about my conversion. And I thought I'd get him converted. I was genuine. I was serious. I thought, boy, I'll baptize him, you know. I'll just teach him and baptize him. Whoo. You know what I found out? I think that's about as angry as I ever saw my dad. Boy, shut up! I've heard enough. Bah! You know what I didn't do? I didn't shut up. Dinner table that night, oh, it was tense. My brother was there, and my sister-in-law was there, and my mom, my dad, and I had my Bible in right there at the dinner table. Oh, boy. Oh, man. And then, you know, I went to church.
with them.
I didn't have things quite figured out, you know. And this was a little later, I don't know, a few weeks later, I can't remember. And I was going to go to Sunday school, and I was going to teach them the Word of God. So I took my Bible. My brother and my sister-in-law didn't go to Sunday school that morning. Because I went in there, and I just took over the Sunday school class. And then the preacher, he walked in. And he didn't let me go ahead and teach, which I was surprised. But, you know, I said, why don't you folks go get your Bibles? I said, I used to go to Presbyterian Church, see, and I said, they don't even use their Bible. Isn't that something? Well, didn't get anybody converted. But boy, I'll tell you what, I did speak for Jesus. Then I went to a Rotary meeting one day, and they were sitting there singing their songs. There's no place I'd rather be than in Rotary. And I thought, yes, there is for me. I'd rather be in church. And there's people that I knew, and sitting right across from me were the dad of some kids I went to school with, and my brother was sitting to my right, and his good best friend was sitting to my left. And so I started witnessing for Jesus. You don't want to witness for Jesus Christ at a Rotary meeting. One man, he says, well, I think you just don't have to say anything about it. You just live it. And I thought, oh, boy. Listen, are you going to get in trouble? You better believe you'll get in trouble. Now, I have tamed it down a little bit. After a while, you get a little more wisdom to you, you know, and you say, maybe I better use a little bit of wisdom here when I speak. Well, we ought to get our mouths open, hadn't we? Mighty easy to lose your fire, too. They couldn't stop. Well, the Sanhedrin, we didn't appreciate that. But anyway, what did the apostles do? They cow down and give up? No, they didn't. You know what they did? They went to the prayer meeting. And what did they pray for? Boldness. Well, you want to go speak? Well, it says in verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. And then in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. Excuse me. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. We'll turn over to verse 17. The apostles, signs and wonders, they're healing many people. Verse 17 says, but the high priest rose up along with his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. You know, that's in a lot of church problems. Jealousy. You can just almost always find envy and jealousy there. Why did they crucify Christ? Envy and jealous. Jealousy. I'll just tell you, people get envious and jealous of leadership. What they do, and then they want to destroy them. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, taking them out. He said, go your way, stand and do what? Speak to the people. You know, that's the same thing that's true in sales. Because when I was in sales, you know what the law was? You speak to the people. You see the people. Because if you don't speak and see the people, you know what? You ain't gonna sell them anything. Here's a guy in the sales office, you know, and he's a salesman, and he sits there, and he figures out what he's going to say and where he's going to go, but he never goes. How many sales is he going to make? None. He may know all about salesmanship and everything else, but if he doesn't get out there, listen, there's nothing going to happen. You got to get your feet going. Well, didn't Paul say the feet of preachers are what? You know why? They carry the gospel. That's why. Well, verse 19, but an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. You know what God has given to us? The message of life. It's the whole message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man's got a problem. It's death. Sin equals what? Death. The wages of sin is death. And we have the message of life. We ought to be so grateful and so thankful, amen, that we have a message of life and not death. The devil brings what? Death. He has the power of death. Life and death. I just want to tell you something. Jesus has life. And so how is that in Romans? If you live according to the flesh, you must die. And if you live according to the Spirit, you will live. It's your choice whether you live or die, depending on what you do with this message. If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, you know what you need to do tonight? You need to make it right with Him. And don't you wait another day. Doesn't make any difference whether you come forward, whether you stay right where you are, but you do it. And don't fool around with it. People die. I've seen them die. I've taught people and they're dead now. They're gone. They're history. And they should have made the decision. Some of them died prematurely. Very tragic, some of them. Well, they were speaking the message. The council doesn't like it. And so they brought them in. Verse 28 says, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God. What's he in reference to? In the fact that we must obey God. What's he talking about? We must keep on speaking to the people. Did God tell them to go preach the gospel to all creation? He ordered them to do that. It's an order from God. So they're going to do it. They will die before they will stop speaking. They were that kind of men. And so, verse 40 says, and they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You couldn't stop them. We've got a, they send it to us. We don't subscribe to it anymore, but it's an antique roadshow. They have a magazine, you know, they send out. You can, and Lincoln, back in the days of Prohibition, not prohibition, I mean slavery. He wanted to do away with the slavery. And he had a picture of a slave with his back bared where that man had been beaten. Boy, that really put an impression on me. I said, my, oh my, can you imagine what the back of the Apostle Paul looked like? I'd never thought about it. But he says, I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. Those marks were permanent. That man's back had to be a mess. Well, yeah, you saw it, didn't you, Ben? Were you kind of impressed with that? I mean, I looked at that and I said, that man has been beaten terribly. I just want to tell you something. So were these apostles. I've never had to face that before. And you couldn't stop the Apostle Paul. He didn't sit around bellyache about it and gripe about it either. He just said, I bear them in my body. How many of us have done that? How many of us have shed any blood in proclaiming the name of Christ? None of us. The work of the church is evangelism. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1 says, Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Mania, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Isn't that amazing? That's the work of the Spirit of God. It's the work of the church. It's the work of God. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they went their way. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Most important part of leadership. I had that title given to me one time, and it's the work of the church. We got a lot of evangelists here. I was really amazed when we had this meeting this afternoon. I don't know how many men were there, but only two of them, which was Jim Parks and Fernie, all the rest of us were trained through the training program that Don Bonan, Jerry Smith, and now Matt Mahacek working at. And I thought, isn't that something? All these teachers here and preachers have been trained by a few men that were willing to dedicate their lives to the work of Almighty God. And I just want to tell you, it is work by the sweat of your brow. I had a man neighbor at the church building. He comes over once in a while and sits down and visits with me. And he's really a nice guy. I kind of like talking to him. So, boy, he said, you got those banker's hours, don't you? He says, I see you come and see you go. And I thought, well, why don't you get my shoes here? You know, hop in them and we'll go. I don't work the hours I used to. I'll guarantee you, it was night and day trying to get the work done and going there in North Platte. It's a lot of work. Well, do you think it takes work for the training program? And then, you know, I also had a lesson on esteeming leadership. To tear up the Lord's work, you know what you have to tear down? What do you have to break? The leadership. You'll never tear up the church if you don't tear up the leadership. So you know what the devil wants to fire at? The leadership. I'm just putting this in, see? Because this is in my class. He wants to tear up. I just want to tell you something. Don't you ever tamper with the Lord's church. Don't you ever do it. Because you know what God says? If you destroy my temple, what I'm going to do to you? God says, I'm going to destroy you. If you want to come talk to me after this sermon, I will tell you of tragedy upon tragedy, on death upon death of men that tried that stunt. And I've got other men that will back me up on that. Because they're right in this room and they know exactly what I know. And I don't probably know all of the tragedy that came. But boy, I want to tell you, it came in a tsunami. You think I'm lying? Boy, I'm not. Because I saw it with my own eyes. And I personally witnessed what happens when men come in and tear up or try to tear up the Lord's church. Listen, we want to evangelize, don't we? Somebody said, I don't remember who it was, but if we're out working, I think it was Jerry Smith, Jr. Those that are laboring for the Lord, they haven't got time to tear up the church. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in. Don't you tamper with the Lord's church. This is the body of Christ. And that body is holy. And you touch it, God says, I'm going to destroy you sooner or later. You're going to get it. And it's guaranteed. God said so. All right. Back to evangelism. The word evangelism means a messenger of good news of great joy. That's what it is, a messenger of good. You know what the main word in evangelism is? It's angel, isn't it? An angel is a messenger, euangelos. I don't know, it's been a few years. Don preached a message on evangelism, and there is the word preach is caruso at times, and it is also euangelizo. And I forgot to look that up before I left North Platte, and when we left the church building, I'll go in there and get my Greek concordance and bring it with me, and I forgot that too. So I said, Paul, would you look this up for me? And so he gets his little computer out, and he's pretty good on that thing. Because here it is right there. Well, that's pretty good, Paul, thanks. Matter of fact, I wanted to bring that out in Acts. I forgot that. Acts 5:42. This word in verse 42, they kept right on preaching or teaching and preaching. That word right there is telling the good news, euangelizo. Yeah. Different than caruso. Yeah. And there's other places where that is also used, euangelizo. So tonight, now that I'm finished with my introduction, that's what we learned in homiletics. Have a long introduction. Well, no. But anyway, we want to consider developing an evangelism, and we're going to consider why develop evangelism and how. Why should we develop evangelism? Because Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, you know what he said? He said, go. We all know the passages, Matthew 28, verse 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, he wants that preached in every country and every nation across the world. Sad to say it's not, because men didn't want the gospel. And he said, he who believes and is baptized is going to be saved. He who disbelieves, I'm going to condemn him. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. If you'll notice Acts 1 and verse 2. We'll start verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. He gave orders to the apostles, didn't he? Now, if you'll notice in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, where Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius, it says, and he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And so he ordered us there actually to caruso. He ordered us to preach. Were the apostles ordered to preach? Did it stop with them? Or is that still in effect to us until how long? End of the age, end of the world. That's how long that you and I are to proclaim this gospel. The way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walks to direct his steps. I understand that very well. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Totally dead. Did I need someone to come and show me the way? Old Merlin Hostetler, bless his heart, Jim Parks. He's at Jim Parks Church now, but I was next door neighbor to old Merlin. And here I am, I was going to be a Presbyterian preacher. Boy, that was close. Probably about June. Now, he's been talking to me for several months, you know, knocking on my door, come over for Bible study. Yeah, I'm a sinner, you know. You know how sinners are? Oh, I'll be in church. Yeah, I'll be seated there on Sunday. Yeah, and they never show up. They invite me to a Bible study. Well, bro, yeah, I'd sure like to come. Here I was going to be a Presbyterian preacher, and I never did go to his Bible study. And so I was to the point that, you know, I couldn't go any further down. That was it. And he says, would you like to come to prayer meeting tonight? I says, prayer meeting? What's that? I've told this story here before, but I won't tell it again. You know, we preachers have that option to do that. So we tell a lot of stories over and over and over again. Hope you people don't get tired of them. And so I said, well, yeah, I'd like to go. So I went. Boy, I want to tell you, I loved every minute of it. Couldn't believe I saw men down on their knees. Well, they didn't stay again on their knees. They stood. But they prayed to God. We went in a little room and I divided up, you know, in groups and prayed. Boy, I said, God, this is what I want. I love that. And I studied with him. I was baptized into Christ. Listen, did it take somebody to talk to me, yes, to get me to go to church?
Yes.
That's all he's doing, trying to get me to go to church. He just kept at it. He wouldn't give up. Here it is. I was baptized in August, first week of August. I was to go to Dubuque Theological Seminary September the 1st. That's how close that was. Well, God knows how to save people, doesn't he? Could Merlin have talked me out of that? What I want. Help us. Do people need help? Did you need some help? Show you the way. You better be thankful there's men out there showing you the way, showing others the way, because most people don't want to work. There's one thing Don said, too, in this meeting here is about the training program, and he wants to train men that will dedicate their lives to the work. Anybody, he says, can preach. They can get up here and preach. But to dedicate themselves to the work is totally a different thing. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It takes sacrifice. We're to be a spiritual sacrifice too, all of us. But if you're going to preach the gospel, and there might be some of you young men here, maybe even some olders, that ought to be thinking about preaching and being an evangelist and winning souls, do we need some young men? You know what's going to happen to the church if we don't have leadership? It's going to die. It's got to have leadership. God has set that law. Every nation, every city, I don't care where you go, must have leadership. A school has to have leadership. They got a superintendent, principal, vice principal. Got to have leadership. Without it, we're not going to make it. When Paul went over to Macedonia, they treated him real nice. Well, trying to save people, and what'd they do? They beat him. Threw him and Silas both in stocks. That's a distorted position to begin with, and very painful. What were they doing? Could you imagine they were singing praises to God? Would you be? I thought about that. I've had a whole lot less things happen to me,
yeah,
and I'm kind of boo-hooing. And I'm down on my knees calling out to God to give me a better attitude. And by the way, you know what I've seen? You know, when we come to camp on Monday, is your attitude different now than it was Monday? I'm just curious. I see some heads shaking. Isn't it amazing what gathering together, singing songs and preaching does to the life? I got a better attitude than I had Monday. Sometimes I'm a old sourpuss. Well, keep a good attitude, not an easy thing to do. Boy, that sermon that Bernie had on love. Ooh-wee. I'll tell you, there was some insight in that thing. Because he's right. Sometimes people are mighty hard to love. The agape love's got to kick in. And sometimes I told him, I said, Fernie, sometimes even the agape love, we fail at. We do. I do. I fail at it. We're not always loving people. When I think about him praying there. You know the jailer. Isn't that amazing? Let's just turn over to Acts 16. Verse 24 says, and he having received such a command, as is to put them in prison, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Who did that? The jailer did it. Now, midnight, what took place? Well, earthquake opened the prison doors and the shackles fell off of those men. And what was the jailer going to do to himself? He's going to kill himself. Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Came in with lights, you know, and said, we're all here. Do yourself no harm. And he preached the word of God to him. And told him, believe on the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, you and your household. And he washed Paul's stripes that night, and the very same hour of the night, he was baptized, both he and his household. Did he need some help? Yeah. You think there's a little emotion in that man when he fell down before Paul and Silas? Yeah. Oh, what must I do? Oh, my. Sirs, what must I do? And old Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. I understand the emotions there. When we read it, you can't read the emotions, but they're there. Because I understand when salvation was brought to me, I took the whole day off and prayed and read my Bible the day or that evening that I was baptized. I want to tell you, there was some emotion in it. Some feeling. I was going to be a changed man from dead to life. Well, isn't that true with all of us? And then we must grow in Christ and grow in grace and knowledge. I just want to tell you, it takes a mighty lot of patience too. I've had a lot of men awfully patient with me. And sometimes, I don't know why they were, but they were. Does it take a lot of patience to save people and keep them saved? One thing to get them into the water, and then when they get out of the water, is to keep them coming. And that takes a lot of patience and a lot of kindness to do that. Because if you don't have that, you're going to lose them. And you're going to lose them anyway. I counted up, been years back here, but we had 17 people within 6 months, gone. You know, we were growing up and we say we need another church building because it was getting so packed, you know, and next thing you know, poof. Well, can that happen just that quick? Oh, you're not a kidding. We need help, all of us. Are you willing to help others? Willing to save them? Notice Matthew 5, if you would. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's no greater light than the church. No greater light. The church is to the world what the sun is to this earth. What happens if the sun goes out? It's a dead, dark world. You know what happens if the church goes out? It's a dead, dark world. Why do we have the dark ages? Bible went out. It's dark age. That's what they call it. In spiritual life, just poof. It's dark. You know what brings light to people? You do. Only the church can do it. God has so ordained it. If you will notice in Acts 26, what happens to sinners? They're blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. They might not see the glory of the gospel of Christ. You'll notice in Acts 26, verse 14, it says, "And when he had fallen to the ground," now Paul's talking about his conversion, "I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And, the Lord said, 'Well, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But arise, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, to deliver you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." To open their eyes so they can turn from darkness to light. What happened to them? Satan blinded them. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. How did he blind them? Pleasure's one of them. You'll get blinded if you're just searching for pleasures. They'll blind you to the gospel, because that's the desires of your life rather than the desires of God. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, that's the world. Don't you love the world? God says so. Don't you love the world nor the things in the world? If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's in the world? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. You and I have got to watch it. That world's like a magnet, wanting to pull us in and suck us in all the time. The God of this world wants to blind you, just like it blinded those sinners. People are blind to evangelism and how important it is. He can blind you to the fact that it's really not that important. That your pleasures and having your fun are more important and more fun than winning souls. But you know, pleasures after a while wear out. You know, you can only go to, what, is the leeches down? Yeah, leeches down. You can only go to that so many times, you know, finally it gets old. Well, is that right? There's things I do that, after a while, pleasures, I'm just picking on the leeches down here, you know, that's a fun thing to do, you know. Some people like that. But there's things that I do that, they wear out. But do you know what's lasting? Things of God. Prayer, study, going to church, coming together, winning the lost, seeing people change in their lives, order, becoming orderly. Just changes the whole person. So you and I are the light of the world. You realize you and I have a gospel to take to lost men and women and save them? And nobody else does. Is the church going to be victorious? Going to go on. It's where all of the spiritual blessings are going to be found where? In the church. And what's the eternal purpose of God carried out in Christ Jesus? That the manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known where? Through the church. If people are going to be saved, how is it going to happen? Through the church. Won't be any other way. Has God so ordained it that you are personally responsible to win men to Christ because you're in the church? If you're in the church, you know what your responsibility is? To win men to Christ. Denominationalism, you know what it says? Preacher does everything. You know what God says? Church is to go. And I mean, I'm glad somebody came and knocked on my door, because I love the spiritual blessings. Prayer, the Bible study, salvation, forgiveness of sins, all of those. The Lord's Supper, those are all spiritual blessings. Why should we go? Because God commanded it. That's why. God commanded. I'm down to 9:15. I started at about 8:30. Is it all right to go a little longer or not? I don't want to take up too much time, bro. Don't. You sure?
No, take it an
hour. Oh, you're going to give me an hour?
You're going to start, yeah.
Okay, well, it's about 8:25, 8:30 something. Okay, that'll give me another few minutes. I don't want to cut you short, though, okay? Well, yeah, really, I probably should have started on how and then the why. How are we going to evangelize? Well, we'll hurry up on this. Actually, well, we preachers never get everything preached anyway. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. You know what was more important to them than their property and their houses?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a persecution. And old Saul, he was entering, he was ravaging the church there in verse 3, entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison, and therefore those men were scattered. Can you imagine somebody coming in, driving you out of your home, and you go out and proclaim the gospel? And this preaching the word here is this, that's bringing the good news. It's good news of great joy, isn't it? Which will be for how many people? All of us. Why? There's a Savior born. That's why. Do you really believe there's a Savior? You believe He died, resurrected? These men believed it. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is risen.
Yeah.
He's not here. Oh, I tell you, in the Lord's church, are we blessed? Oh my, oh my. So blessed that we know the gospel. Paul immediately began doing what? Preaching, proclaiming the gospel when he was after his baptism. Then in Acts 18. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. How is Paul going to find those people in Corinth? It's a pretty good sized city. How's he going to find them? Just sit down and hope they come to church?
No.
Every day in the temple, publicly and from house to house, they kept right on doing what? Preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. You couldn't get them to shut up. You think Paul's just like that? How can we stop? Can't. Paul couldn't. You couldn't stop that man. Yeah. Well, I understand that. I went to North Platte, 1982. And they had that church building locked up. That was really nice of them to lock that building up.
Yep.
Not a soul there. Be right truthful with you. You know, I don't know. You know, don't be afraid. I remember driving in North Platte at night, my family, and all the lights on the railroad were out there. I wondered, what in the world was all? What was all those lights? Maybe they were giving me a grand entry, you know. I just tell you, I'm a little fearful.
Sure.
But you know what I said? I got to go to work. Mm-hmm. We opened up the doors, my wife, my four sons, myself, and Alfonso, and we started to labor. And, you know, people started to get converted.
Yep.
Now, did that happen because I was sitting around watching television?
No.
Let's tell you something, I don't have a television.
No.
I don't have one. I haven't got time for it.
No.
Pity your poor little soul. You sit around and can watch television and you don't speak to the people. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes on the Day of Judgment. I mean, this is my personal opinion here. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I feel I have an obligation to speak. I believe it's the command of God to get my mouth opened.
Yeah.
And so I had learned in the training program to call door to door. And I called 2 hours in the afternoon and an hour to an hour and a half in the evening. You can ask my wife. And she, I didn't even remember this. She told me that if a Bible study would cancel, I started getting Bible studies. If they cancel, I'd go out and call. Is that right? I mean, I've forgotten I'd done that, really. So the Bible study had canceled. Well, you know, it's disheartening.
Yeah.
Yo, give for this Bible study, see? And you think about all the people going to commit. And you go, oh, we're sorry, we can't study tonight, so that's what happened.
Yeah.
Wind just goes out of you. You know what the temptation is to do? Go home and sit in my easy chair and my rocker. Well, I'm getting old enough now, see, I could do that. You know, and I called, and cold sometimes. Oh, it's cold. Oh, matter of fact, old Merlin Hostetler, he called me. I hadn't even been a Christian 5 months. It was January the 1st. And he called me and said, you want to go call him door to door? I said, Merlin, I've been praying that I could go call him today. Thanks for calling me. And we went out, we got a Bible study, they got converted. And then the husband, he died. They were an older couple. He died, he got to go to heaven. Now, I don't know what ever happened to her. She finally left. But he died and got to go to heaven. Listen, does calling work?
Yeah.
If you do it. It works. But if you don't do it, it ain't going to work. It's what you got to do. You have to get out there. And I said one thing, God, I am not going to serve debt. I'm not going to do it. I have to either serve debt or serve God. I said, I'm going to serve you, God. Forget the debt. I mean, I had bankers that would have loaned me the money to get into debt. But I said, no, that's too much debt for me. I'm going to take it on. Stay out of it. Because I went there to build the church, what I went there to do. And I don't want, and I also did not want to become 60 years old, 64 now, pushing 65. But I said, I don't want to be 60 years old and look back and say, God, I didn't build a thing. I don't want to do that. And so, does it take work?
Yes.
If you don't do the work, it's not going to happen.
No.
It just isn't going to happen. Are you people willing to speak tonight for the Master? Is there anybody here who will commit themselves and say, I will work to win one soul this year? Is that asking too much? One. Would that make a difference in the churches? And maybe you haven't seen it, but Church of Christ is getting smaller. And especially those that want to stand for righteousness and holiness. There's others out there, but boy, I want to tell you, they're going the wrong direction. I did have the church list here, and I was going to go down through that and share with you how all these people were converted and so forth. And really, it's kind of interesting, you know, how they were converted and what brought about their salvation. But due to time, we won't do that. There ought to be somebody here that's pleased to dedicate themselves to Christ, for especially what he's done for us, what other men have done for you. You just think about what other men have done for you. I think about what other men have done for me. I thank the God of heaven that there were men willing to take the time to come and talk to me about Christ and him crucified. I am so thankful for that. So thankful for the grace. If you're here tonight, just say, God, I want to work for you. And listen, the pleasures are in God's right hand. That's where they are. They're not going to be found out here in the world. You're deceiving yourself. You're blinded. The devil has blinded you. The God of pleasure has blinded you. Well, are we a society of pleasure? Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. That's all it is. American dream. Well, I'll just tell you, it's in Christ is where it's at. 257, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.